Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very accomplished professional from Toronto, Canada, Mr. Jermaine St. Denis. Jermaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ash. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Jermaine is an architect of people first, and you can see it on the logo behind on his left, but just above his left shoulder. He's a leadership consultant, a career development coach, and a mentor. So Jermaine, before we talk about leadership and coaching, tell me about your own journey in brief.
So I've had a very, very good career. Started off as actually I was born and raised in Eastern Ontario, so I've always lived in Canada. Mm-hmm. Studied computer science and started off as a technical resource. Quickly became more interested in the business application, the architecture, the systems, and the impact on the people when technology was implemented. Mm-hmm. And that has stuck with me. So I've had roles, very great roles with consulting firms, with large software and cloud providers such as Oracle, which is where I worked for the last 8 years before I decided to give up my full-time corporate job and take some time to enjoy life, travel. Mm-hmm. But like you, I think I like to give back, and I mm-hmm. miss the people. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing work as a freelancer, some of it on pro bono basis, some of it on a paid basis, but I hope it helps other people.
Mm. And tell me a little bit about people first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big fan of servant leadership, which you may have heard before.
Yeah.
People first principles. And basically what they mean is that in order to be successful, the most succinct way I can put it is that in order to be successful as an organization, you have to train and equip your people. Mm-hmm. Then you have to trust and empower them to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And that's the people first aspect. And it's very, very successful. It works.
Mm, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about leadership. Let me start by asking you the first question. What are some of the key leadership skills that you think are essential in the current work environment?
Mm. That's a really good question. The required leadership skills have changed. And I think if we think about the pandemic, what we did over the past 3 years, the world has gone through tremendous change. And sometimes innovation and technology being, kind of, quote, forced on people because we had to, like, work from home and all these things. So to me, the most critical leadership skill today is flexibility. And by that, I mean that you have to make arrangements that suit your organization as a leader, mm-hmm. but you have to be flexible because there's no cookie cutter approach, right? So we still hear all this discussion about hybrid work from home, return to office policies, mm-hmm. all the controversy around this, and some impose it, some don't. Mm. Really, that shouldn't be the case. Mm. I think, flexibility and a focus on helping your people to get the work done, mm. helping your people to get the results, to me, those are the key things.
Mm. Very interesting. And, based on all the work that you've done with leaders, what are some of the common misconceptions about leadership that you have encountered?
I think leadership is one of the most misunderstood roles. Number one is too many people think it's about giving orders. Hmm. And it's, unless you're in the military, that's different, or, but in an office environment or most other work environments, it's not about that. So misconception that to give orders, that maybe it's nice to have the title, there's some prestige, I'm a manager, I'm a director, I'm a vice president, mm. I'm an executive. Well, that's all good, and I'm fine with that. Mm. But also comes with the responsibility. That's very misunderstood, right? It's a lot tougher than people realize, and you have to fight for your people. in the background when nobody really will see it, except that your team will benefit.
And, you know, we have a lot of young viewers and listeners. So what are some of the actionable steps that someone can take to start developing leadership abilities?
Actually, I've had the privilege to work a lot with the younger generation. Mm-hmm. I also mentor occasionally University of Toronto students who take management consulting courses. I work with people who were new grads right out of school, first job during the pandemic. That was a challenge for them, much more than others. And I've worked with what you might call emerging leaders, people who will be leaders in a few years. The best things they could do, I think, is number one is to get a mentor. Within your organization, your manager should be your coach, but that's not always the case. So get a mentor. They don't have to pay necessarily. A lot of us will mentor a young individual at no charge. We're happy to do it. And take some initiative. Look for things where you can maybe make a difference, contribute to something, something in addition to doing your job well. Take some courses. Ask for advice. You know, you've been an executive. If somebody calls you and says, I'd like your advice on this or that, generally you accept, right? You're not going to say, oh no, I can't talk to you. So those are things that they can do, I think, to get the ball rolling.
Very interesting. And what would you say, Jermaine, is the difference between managing and leading?
Well, to me, managing is more managing tasks. Whereas leading, you're leading people. Mm-hmm. So is it task-oriented or are you people-oriented? If you're task-oriented, you're more like a project manager. You may have an executive title, but you're still more of a project manager. Right. Do this, do that, you do this. And also managers often, those who are strictly managers, want to micromanage. Whereas if you're a leader, you explain to your people what needs to be done. And as I said, try and equip them and then give them some flexibility to get the results that you want. They have some ideas. Let's see what they have to say. There's a big, big difference, actually. The leadership, the leader, a true leader, it's much more collaborative, I think. And therefore, you can usually get better outcomes that way.
And when we talk leadership, a buzzword that is often being talked about is emotional intelligence. Help me understand the concept of emotional intelligence and why is it important for leadership?
That's something that I actually discovered probably around 2000. I never really was close to that term, but around 2000, I bought a book by a gentleman called Daniel Goleman, I believe. It was called Prime in Leadership, which is why I bought it, but all about how a leader uses emotional intelligence to inspire and motivate. To me, emotional intelligence is how you can relate to people, how you connect with them. And then you kind of get a sense, you understand maybe what motivates them, hear them out more as a person than just as an employee, somebody that you give work to. And it will make a big difference because it works both ways. It's mutual, and you can establish trust that way. But you also have to be aware. Like, self-aware is one of the key aspects of emotional intelligence. You have to be aware of your own, how you behave, how you work, and maybe what you convey as a leader. Right? If you convey that you're tough, rough, and I get the same response as to say, okay, I'm coming in, let's see what we can do to solve this problem. So, but it's still mostly, I think, how you can relate to people.
Interesting. So, Jeremy, my next few questions are going to be about the other part of work that you do, which is as a career development coach. What is your approach when helping someone identify their career path?
I run into this often, actually. Somebody young in their career, when they ask me for advice or they have different opportunities, I always ask them to try to find their passion. What is it that they like to do? Even if you're a new grad coming out of university, I had a young lady a year and a half ago or something, two options for jobs, a job at the larger, well-known company, and then a job with a small, unknown but very innovative company. And from what I knew from being her mentor when she was at U of T, I said, "But which one do you think you'll like most? Forget the pay and all this stuff for a minute. Which one do you think you'll like most?" And we had a bit of a discussion. Think about your goals, what motivates you, what makes you happy. And if you're just starting out, you have a fairly long runway, so you have time to experiment at different places. It doesn't mean you'll be there forever, but map out a plan of, do you want to remain technical? Do you want to move into leadership roles? Are there opportunities? There are a lot of things to look at, but it's still follow your passion where you can, I think.
And how do you help individuals to handle setbacks or perceived failures in their careers?
Failures, when I was younger, failures were seen as a bad thing.
Correct.
And maybe similar for you. You're still a very young man, but if you failed, often you'd be accused of doing something wrong. There would be a blame, right? Today it's not like that at all. At least it shouldn't be, but for most leaders, not like that at all. Actually, failure is often encouraged. It means you're trying something different. You're trying something that nobody's done. So the thing is, learn from that mistake. Don't do it again. The next time you start, you'll start with experience. And also, maybe keep track of those things and reach out to people who may have done something similar. Did you have this problem? And then how do you resolve it, right? And so you can really learn a lot that way, but still having that positive mindset of, okay, I made a mistake. And also, of course, your leader has to have a positive mindset to see it that way too,
Well
right?
said, well said. And you know, you're so right. I mean, I actually wrote a book on handling failure in the 21st century. You know, and you're so right. You know, when I was growing up, failure was handled very differently. But my next question to you is, in what ways do you believe, Jermaine, that personal development impacts career development?
I think the two are very, very closely tied. Perhaps there was a time when you could absolutely separate your work life from your personal life. Of course, it depends on the field of work, but all the work that I've done and a lot of the people I know, there's still a connection between the more you want to develop yourself as a person, you want to learn, you want to become either a better person, or you want to keep up with all the trends and changes, which is always good because things move. Those will always help you in your career. So when you look at a career plan or you talk with a career coach, you have to find the two and make sure that there's no real conflict, right? So they kind of have to be aligned. If your personal development is all towards one specific area, but yet your work totally takes you in a different area that you don't like, then time to consider maybe a different role. You don't necessarily to change your personal. I think your personal development should come first, and your personal ambition should come first, and your work should support it, right?
Very interesting. And what are some of the specific challenges that women and other unrepresented groups face in the workplace, and how can they overcome them?
Yeah, this is still a problem that I must say that I have not run into that as much as other people. Maybe it's in the world that I worked in was not as prevalent. There's still quite a few women in the tech and consulting space that I've worked with. When I was in a management consulting practice, some of the best consultants that I had on the team were women. But I also know many others who struggle because they're not appreciated. They're not even seen, women or people, other people in minorities. They're just not appreciated, right? So it's hard to go to your boss and say, "Well, you're neglecting me, blah, blah, blah." Some of them may not like that. They may not take it positively, and that's a real challenge, I know, and it varies from probably from country to country, or at least culture to culture. But I think if they can demonstrate or come with ideas to show that even though they have a different background or they're in a different space, what can they bring to the table? Maybe a different perspective, a different experience they've had. And they have to say, well, what about this? I've run into this before. And there's something we used to do this way where I worked in the past. If there's always something you can bring that will show some value and that you contribute as a member of the team, I doubt that anybody is going to push back on that. And actually, a good leader should encourage it, right? And I also talk about the quiet people. The people are introverts, and it's the same thing. If you're an introvert, you're often just invisible because most leaders, unfortunately, prefer to work with the high performers, which is true. But there may be high performers you don't see just because they're quiet.
Correct. Right?
And that's a whole different topic. But I think the same idea applies, right, to women and other minorities.
Yeah. Well said. And what advice would you have for someone who feels stuck in their career?
Maybe the best advice is to go back and again question what they want to do. What is their passion? Why do they feel stuck? They feel stuck because they're not getting ahead, getting promotions or getting more interesting work. Or do they feel stuck because the work is no longer rewarding? Maybe they chose a career path and it's no longer rewarding. I was on a podcast recently with a very nice and very accomplished gentleman. And, he's a medical doctor, but he doesn't work in medicine because after a while decided that's not my path, right? So you have to start with what is it you want to do and how can you get there? And it may mean a change in roles in the same company, or it may be a change in company, or maybe a change in career completely. It's always asking the question, why am I questioning this? Or why is a person saying that they're stuck?
That
could be something that they should do differently. And a coach will help them with that. And it could be something that totally different that they should be pursuing.
Interesting.
I know that's not, there's no black and white. To me, there's no bullet.
I agree. I mean, in something like a career advice or moving on, there's never any right or wrong. But my next question to you is, Jermaine, can you share an example, without any names, of course, of a challenging leadership or a career transition where you helped?
I have several examples, actually. I'll start in the technical fields, for example. Some of my former team members were really, really sharp technical resources, but they became limited in the sense that they always work in the same area. And even though it evolves, the world around us evolves too, right? So one of them came to me and said, well, what should I do? Should I just continue to grow with this, or what should I do? And I said, you have so much potential and you learn new stuff so easily. Why don't you branch out and look at the surrounding developments and branch out in one of those? And he did. And he quickly became an expert in other areas and loves it. Loves it. Another example is I had a leader who was responsible for teams in different countries. One of his challenges is that he couldn't relate with them very, very closely. So he would have not often in person, which also makes it more difficult, but he would have calls on video calls, but the team wouldn't really engage. So I said, well, how do you run your sessions? Right. Well, I said, I go right into the work. Well, I said, I don't do that. Right. Why don't you talk to them instead? And I'm very big on when you facilitate meetings, do a quick check-in or an icebreaker. Only takes 2 minutes. If I ask you, Ash, if you had an undo button, what is the first thing you would do with it?
Correct. Right?
And so you go around the table quickly, and even if you don't do, if you have 100 people, you're not going to do everybody, but you can do 5, 6. It's very interesting. and it gets the people engaged. And so he decided to try that. And he came back to me shortly after, a month or so later, and he said, mm-hmm. I tried this and worked beautifully. Everybody was so engaged. So, okay, now that's the kind of thing you need to do mm-hmm. with people if you want them to engage with you, right? And to me, that's a leadership mm-hmm. Characteristic that we should have, something mm-hmm. we should do. But not everybody does. Depends a bit mm-hmm. on personality.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Great response. Yeah. Thank you. So, Jeremy, I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is that how can leadership and career development coaching, or how have leadership and career development coaching changed in the face of remote work or work from home post the pandemic?
Actually, I think coaching in general and leadership and career coaching have become even more critical. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I think your boss should be your coach, mm-hmm. but that's rarely the case or rarely sufficient.
Yeah,
there are many coaches like me, for example, that can help simply because you have now to deal with different things that you never had to deal before as a mm-hmm. leader. And that example I mentioned of facilitating remote meetings and getting your teams engaged, there are a lot of things that one can do. So the idea of coaching, as opposed to being somebody that you meet once a month and you discuss things career development and a mentor, it's a bit different now. What I do, for example, I have a program called Empowering Leaders in Action. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's in action is because it's all focused on practical, mm-hmm. Actionable tips. So I don't cover, for example, all the leadership competencies that HR teams would cover, mm-hmm. It's all in action. So we discuss things, we discuss problems, how would somebody address them, what kind of things could you do, questions mm-hmm. to ask. So all of that now is focused around teams that are working on-site, working remotely all the time, or hybrid. Mm-hmm. And it's different because now you have people in front of you. Then you have people, as we are right now, thousands of miles, thousands mm-hmm. of kilometers apart. Mm-hmm. And you have people we don't see, but maybe they're on the phone listening.
Correct.
So it requires very, very different skills. And a good coach, I think, will make a big, big difference mm-hmm. in getting the person, sometimes just to start off on a better mm-hmm. footing, right? And then to be able to grow gradually, evolve. Into the role.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Jeremy, and this is a question which is, I want to get your perspective on what is your vision for the future of, for leadership in the future of work?
My wish is that leaders become more caring. Mm-hmm. And caring in the sense of having that responsibility to help their teams be their best. To me, that's mm-hmm. a large part of leadership. It's that responsibility. Help your people be their best. Mm-hmm. And so, which is why I talk about, I empower leaders, I empower people mm-hmm. through caring leadership. It makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. We've seen some of that during the pandemic, understanding, empathy, compassion, all rose to the surface because everybody was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So if I was in Toronto and a cat walked across my desk, you couldn't object because you were also sitting at home in 2020 or 2021 and maybe had the same problem. In the past, that would never have been accepted, right? Mm. Or you're interrupted by something. So I hope that continues. So caring leadership has become more talked about, quite a bit more talked about, more popular. Mm-hmm. And the CEO of Microsoft even said, I think it was maybe 3 years mm-hmm. ago or 2 years ago, that care was the new currency, which was great. I was very happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Right? So he could see it. On the other hand, 6-8 months ago, Microsoft let people go because business is down and they want to protect their margins, mm-hmm. their profits. Now that's not very consistent, but, caring leadership and servant leadership don't mean that you don't get the work done. You still have to do, of course, what the company needs to get done. Goals have to be met. I understand that.
Absolutely.
But there are many ways of doing it better, right?
Wonderful. And on that note, Jermaine, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of leadership. Thank you also for speaking to me about careers. And you gave me some very interesting thoughts, which I'm sure my viewers and listeners would love to think about on career development. Thank you once again for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that your readers find this interesting and useful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.